Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Welcome back to our little podcast. It is called On Deck, and Stephen J. Nesbitt is gone, and we again today are reaping all the benefits. We have Caitlin McGrath here with us today. I'm Levi Weaver. Caitlin usually covers the Toronto Blue Jays. Today we are going to have her talk about completely different teams.
Woo!
Yeah, we let her off easy last time. She got to talk about the Blue Jays, but today we have a few topics for you. We're going to talk about the Reds and the Yankees. They are both sliding a little bit coming out of the All-Star break. We have our series of the week, and we are going to get into the arcade, as we call it. We are going to have our arms race, and Caitlin's filling in for Steven. So pick a really terrible starting pitcher, please. Caitlin, how has your week gone so far?
It's been good. The Blue Jays have been in action at home, so I've been following that. And, you know, I think I'm actually doing a good job so far in the homer chase in terms of playing for Team Levi, because the player that I picked has not even played in a game yet. I did not realize that he had, or I don't know if it was like reported, but calf tightness for Devers. So let's hope, yeah.
I think you're doing great. I hope what happens, not for your sake, but just because I know it would drive Steven nuts, is I hope he loses by one home run at the end of the year, and it's because of this week where Devers hit none. Our topic of the week this week, we have a couple of teams that have/had playoff designs coming out of the All-Star break that have just completely crashed and burned a little bit. It's only been, what, we're looking at 5 games. It'll be 6 by the time this airs. But the Yankees are 1-4. The Reds are 0-5 in those 5 games coming out of the All-Star break. What's happening? Why the Reds were so exciting for like 2 weeks? What happened?
I mean, in baseball, you see this a lot where a team can just get really hot for, you know, a short amount of time. Remember when we were talking about like the Pittsburgh Pirates potentially winning the Central, and now they're back to where we all thought they would be in last place. And so like sometimes teams can just go on a really great run. They can win a bunch of games in a row and they can look like, wow, like this team is really going for it, is a really great team. And then sort of they come back down to earth. Like there's always that expression where it's like a team is never as really as good as when they're going good and never really as bad as when they're going bad. It's always somewhere in the middle. And so I think you're seeing that to some extent with the Reds are just coming back down to earth. They're still like a young rebuilding team that probably isn't quite ready to be a legit playoff contender, although I'm not saying that they're not going to hang around in the race a little bit. And the Yankees team, like that's a team where like that's a team built around Aaron Judge. I've watched enough Yankees, and basically the trajectory of their season has gone on a downward slope as soon as they've lost Aaron Judge. That's not a coincidence. Like, he drives their offense. He did so last year at a record-breaking year. He did so when he was playing this year, and they just don't have a deep lineup. They've had a lot of injuries, and then you have to ask the question of, like, well, like, maybe they're a team that's built around too many old injury-prone players, and that's, you know, that's not a recipe for success if you're the Yankees.
I've been watching the Yankees Angels series because I want to get a feel for what the vibes are like with Ohtani and around his teammates, and I am prone to some of the same whimsical fancy that others in the world are prone to, and thinking that I can read the room by watching a game on TV, which I know is ridiculous, right? But I kind of want to see what's going on with them. So I've watched those last 2 games, and my goodness, Yankees, do you want the Angels to trade Shohei Ohtani or not? Because if they keep winning, they're not going to do it. If there's a chance that they're going to make the playoffs, they're going to keep him. The Yankees, of course, speaking of whimsical fancy, although they sometimes follow through on it, would like to think that they are perhaps in the running for being one of those teams to acquire Ohtani. Yeah, well, not if you can't beat the Angels, and just, you're giving them hope. You are giving them hope. On the Reds' end, man, I'm looking at the scores of the five games. And again, this is going to broadcast on July 20th. We are currently, you and I, living in July 19th. But, you know, time traveling from yesterday, the scores in their five games, 1-0, 3-0, 4-3, 2-4. All of a sudden, it's like the Reds have pitching again. And their offense, which was going so great, just... And then they lose 11-10. Like, the offense comes to life and the pitching is like, okay, good. Everybody's back to our Freaky Friday situation is over. Look, I'm looking at some of these numbers since the All-Star break. And again, this is a five-game sample. And to your point, teams are never as bad as when they're going poorly. Never as good as when they're going great. I think, you know, the Reds right now, the Pirates earlier this year, it's much more magnified when it is to start the season or right out of the All-Star break. Like, these are the moments when I think it's easy to mentally sort of reset and go, okay, it's the second half, even though mathematically we're already well into the second half. A five-game losing streak is not the end of the world, but Ellie De La Cruz, literally since the All-Star break, a 145, not batting average, OPS. Like, that's real bad. Spencer Steer, a 481 OPS. TJ Friedl, a 200 OPS. So you've got some guys that are really not going well. Even the guys that are going well, Matt McClain has a 907 OPS since the All-Star break. He's still got a 33% strikeout rate. Oh, by the way, De La Cruz, a 52.4% strikeout rate since the All-Star break.
Not what you want.
No, and he also tends to get some walks. He only has a 4.8% walk percentage since the All-Star break. I'm like waving this flag going, I know it's small sample. I know it is. It's five games, right? But it's a very bad five games. If there's some glimmer of hope for him, it's also that he has a 111 BABIP since the All-Star break, which is a combination of bad luck. And with as hard as he tends to hit the ball, probably extremely bad luck. So this could be flipped, you know, pretty easily, I would like to think. But yeah, man, if they can do the pitching like they've done those first four games and have the offense like they've been for the last month or so, not counting those four games, I think they're still an exciting team. But to your point, they're probably just not quite there yet. They're very young. It looks like they're set up to be good for quite a while. Sentimentally, I want them to do it while Votto is there. I want him to be able to get his moment in the sun. But yeah, so those two teams, very much struggling coming out of the All-Star break. Watch, they're both going to win tonight and make us look silly by the time this broadcasts.
That would be always the way.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
So for our series of the week, Caitlin, you've got the Rays and the Orioles. We're looking at two of the best teams in the American League. And in fact, if not for the Braves, maybe potentially the two best teams in baseball playing each other. What you got?
Well, like you said off the top, I'm not talking about the Jays this time, but I'm not going far because I'm staying within the division. But you know what? It's a very exciting division, the American League East. We thought it would be a tough division. I think it's been even tougher. I believe it is the only division where all teams are already at 50 wins. So very good division. And what's so exciting about this Orioles and Rays series is we could actually potentially see a change in the at the top of the division for like basically the first time since the start of the season. We all remember the Rays got off to such a hot start with that, was it 8-game win streak? Or was it more than that?
I have it written down as a 75-game win streak to start the season.
Oh, okay. So. That was it. Whatever. They won a lot in a row at the top, and they have been basically leading the division ever since. And right now, I looked this up, so basically back on June 15th, the Rays had a 5-game lead over the Orioles. They had an 83.6% chance to win the division. That's Fangraphs projected playoff odds. And so the Orioles, contrast, had about a 5% chance to win the division. Now, on July 19th, when we're recording this, the Rays just have a 1-game lead on the Orioles, and the Rays odds to win the division are down to 65%. Still pretty good, but down to 65%, whereas the Orioles are now up to about 18%. So still kind of long odds, but definitely moving in the right direction. So we could actually see a change in the division lead. They're playing a 4-game series. Like I said, they could be going into that series either a game back. The Orioles could be a game back. They could be tied. They could be, you know, right there within striking distance of taking the lead in the division. So that's what I'm watching. And the Rays team, we've talked a lot about them in the sense that their offense got off to such a strong start, was really one of the better offenses in baseball almost for the entire first half. And it has been struggling lately. They're down to, like, you know, in July, their weighted runs created plus is 78, which is basically bottom of the bottom of baseball. Whereas the Orioles, they've just been kind of like a steady, balanced team. The one thing you want to watch out for is actually, if you look at the standings, the Orioles are probably pretty lucky. They have a very good one run record. They have a 16-9 record in one run games, whereas the Tampa Bay Rays actually have a 14-17 record. So they have a losing record in one run games. So that's the thing, that if you look at like run differential, the Rays should actually still have like a healthy lead in the division. But you know, baseball doesn't work like that sometimes, right? Like, you know, teams get lucky. You win some games that you don't deserve to win. You lose some games that you do deserve to win. So I'm really excited for this series because, like you said, this is like two of the best teams in the American League, potentially two of the best teams in all of baseball. We might finally see a change in the American League. And then you have, you know, other teams that are also chasing the Rays as well. And so, you know, that's why I'm looking forward to that series.
I am going to make a clean segue because both of the teams that you just mentioned just lost a series to both of the teams that I am about to mention. The Orioles, at time of recording, have lost 2 of 3 to the Dodgers. That could end up being a sweep. The Rays, by the way, have lost the first two against the Rangers. That could either be 2-1 or also a sweep. I mean, I give you grief about talking about the Blue Jays last time. The Rangers have been an exciting team this year, so they've come up quite a bit. And also, it just happens to be the team that I'm kind of, you know, that I grew up watching, that I covered for 7 years. So that's naturally going to be what I turn on a lot of nights. And by the way, you're right. The Rays offense has not looked great the last couple of nights in Texas. I don't know what the difference is. I don't know if this is good scouting or if they are just going through one of those things that teams go through. But it does not look like the same group of mashers that we were seeing in April and May. Rangers and Dodgers, by the way, are in first place. The Rangers are 5-0 at time of recording coming out of the break. And they've done it against two teams who were, at least at time of the beginning of the series, in first place. No, I know the Guardians. First place in the AL Central doesn't really count. It's like
it doesn't count. No.
It's like being valedictorian when you are homeschooled. It's not like you still get to say you were valedictorian, but does it really count? And by the way, now they're not even valedictorian of the AL Central because the Twins are in first place now. Meanwhile, the Dodgers have done what we kind of expected them to do. They've come back into the lead in the NL West, have overtaken the Diamondbacks. Diamondbacks, I think last I looked, were now in third place in the division. The Dodgers offense has been about what we expected it to be, has been pretty good. They've had so many injuries in the starting rotation. This is not new news. I think we'll see a high scoring series. Andrew Heaney has not been the same pitcher that he was last year with the Dodgers. Martin Perez has not been the same pitcher that he was last year when he made the All-Star team for the Rangers. Meanwhile, both offenses have just been absolutely rolling. One exciting, I don't know, it might be fun if you're a Rangers fan, story. Alex Spies was called up on Wednesday. Spies was a second round pick for the Rangers in 2016. He pitched from 2019 through 2021, a total of 16 and a third innings. Took 2022 off. He went and coached high school baseball. It was like, I think the idea at the time was maybe that he had retired at a young age. Came back this year, has been throwing absolute gas. Oh, by the way, his ERA in 2021 was 11.15. Has been throwing absolute gas, has a 1 ERA between AA and AAA this year, has 59 strikeouts in, I forgot to write it down, innings, but it's quite a bit fewer than 59 innings. He was called up today, added to the 40-man roster. So the Rangers have added now to their bullpen Aroldis Chapman and now have added Alex Spies. He will make his debut at some point very, very soon. And the downside of that, because you can never just have good news in this sport, Taylor Hearn was designated for assignment. Shout out to Taylor Hearn, who is always one of the coolest guys to talk to in the clubhouse. His AAA numbers are pretty good, and I fully expect that he's going to land somewhere else in the big leagues very soon. But as for this series, the Rangers have not announced their starters. The Dodgers have Tony Gonsolin, Bobby Miller, and Emmett Sheehan, who I'm sure we all expected would be starting for the Dodgers as they take on another first place team here right before the trade deadline. As far as Rangers and Dodgers, I'm curious which one of them, I'm sure it will be both, like how will these rotations look different on August 1st? You know, you wouldn't have thought that the Rangers would need starting pitching coming into this season. They had DeGrom, Eovaldi, Heaney, Perez, and John Gray. And Eovaldi and Gray have turned out great. Dane Dunning has been a surprise. He's been very good. But I don't know. I think they still just need one more starter. As for the bullpen, I think let's see what Spies does. It could be fun. He could be one of those great stories of guys to root for after it looks like they're out of the sport. And then meanwhile, the Dodgers, they can't. They cannot just rely on rookie starting pitchers the rest of the year. So there's my series preview, which is less about the series and more about Alex Spies, who I think is neat.
That's a fun story. I love those stories. Honestly, those are the best.
It's great. One of my favorite stories that I wrote covering the Rangers was, Austin Bibbins-Dirks was one of those guys. He had a weird name, so that was fun. Brandon Mann had been in pro ball for like 14 years, and finally made his debut on Mother's Day, right after his mother-in-law had passed away. And it's like, and baseball does this type of thing very well, where they just sort of present you this underdog. I mean, what was it? Drew Magi. Is that how you pronounce it? Earlier this year, he was another one of those guys. I don't think Alex Spies necessarily qualifies as that. Like, he's not in his mid-30s and looks like a high school gym teacher, but he literally was a high school baseball coach last year. So he's still young, but it is a fun comeback story for him. So God bless baseball for all it does to help us believe in the underdogs.
Yeah, as Brad Pitt once said, how can you not be romantic about baseball?
It is time for us to step into our On Deck Arcade. It is our arms race, and I just am now realizing that I forgot to look up the arms race numbers for last year. Listeners, I apologize for not doing that, but basically I did not win because my pitcher did not pitch. So let's let Caitlin fill in for Stephen J. Nesbitt. Caitlin, I'm going to let you go first. Who is your starting pitcher this week, your arms race hero?
Okay, so I'll admit I sort of still don't fully understand what I'm picking here. It's like there's a very complicated score that I'm looking at in this spreadsheet. And so I am going to just stick to what I know, which everybody knows right now is apparently the American League East Division. What can I say? But I'm going to go with Tyler Glasnow. He's going to pitch for the Rays against the Orioles. It's going to be a big game, like I said, like I talked about. This is a big series, big moment for both of those teams. And Glasnow's been pretty good since he's come back. He's a great pitcher. He strikes a lot of guys out. He's kind of key to the Rays right now. They've had so many injuries in their rotation. They've lost, you know, Rasmussen for the season. They've lost Springs for the season. So they've kind of got a good like trio going with Glasnow and Eflin and McClanahan, obviously, but they're going to need a lot from those guys. It's the Rays. They produce pitchers, basically out of a factory or something. I don't know how it totally works, but they're able to produce a lot of pitchers, but they really need a lot from their guys. So I'm going to bet that Tyler Glasnow is going to step up, going to be able to sort of carve up the Orioles, strike a lot of guys out. That's what I'm hoping for Steven. So maybe he'll forgive me for picking Devers, who apparently is not playing this week.
Yeah, the Orioles have a good offense. I am not taking the challenge. I'm trying to take the easy slam dunk. I've got Garrett Cole against the Kansas City Royals, who I expect will become the first pitcher in Major League history to throw a negative hitter, where somehow the Royals get negative one or negative two hits in that game. I somehow had not picked a Yankee yet this year, so that seems like a pretty good bet. You've got the all-star starting pitcher versus an offense that looks like it was designed by Homer Simpson. So hopefully this is going to work out well for me, which obviously means that Garrett Cole's face is going to fall off and somehow Tyler Glasnow is going to pitch 14 innings and strike out 89 guys. Can't wait.
Yeah. That sounds about right. You know what? I'll take the win. I'll take the win for Steven because I feel like we're losing the home run chase.
Hey, we got you as a guest for an entire week. We are all taking the win. Thank you, Caitlin, for joining us this week. Steven's fired. You are welcome to join us at any time. And thank you to everyone listening. Please stick around. Next up in the feed of the Athletic Baseball Show is the 3-0 show with DVR, Britt Giroli, and Eno Saris as they talk about Lord knows what. I'm sure it's going to be statistics. Eno's brain is one of my favorite things about this industry, and it's going to be a good time. Thanks for joining us. Caitlin, thank you for joining us. Peace.